Hi, thanks for joining us for this ACRP Clinical Trial Insights podcast. I'm Michael Causey, Editor-in-Chief here at ACRP. Are your job applicants lying to you? It may sound like a harsh question, but according to research done by CRA Resources, there are 7,000 clinical research-related fraudulent resumes in circulation today. And we're not talking about tiny fudging, like exaggerating one's role in their previous job. No, we're talking about out-and-out fraud, fake job titles, fake college degrees, fake references. Frankly, it's shocking when you dig down and see how prevalent it is and the craftiness of some of the applicants. As we'll hear in this podcast, sophisticated fraudsters purchase degrees and other certifications from diploma mills, use long-defunct operations as references, making it difficult to verify them, and otherwise do their best to convince you they know how to do the job. Often, they don't. The stakes are serious. Hiring an unqualified employee has legal, financial, and employee morale implications. In this ACRP Clinical Trial Insights podcast, we're going to hear from two leading experts, Angela Roberts, head of CRA recruitment with CRA Resources, and Terry Hinckley, ACRP's Workforce Innovation Officer. In her new position, Terry will lead several major ACRP initiatives to define and shape the future of the clinical research workforce and to support professionals in their career growth and development. Angela helps us better understand the current landscape, and Terry offers some ideas for how hiring managers can better vet their candidates via certification programs. We're here with Angela Roberts, who's the head of CRA recruitment at CRA Resources. Angela, thank you so much for joining the ACRP podcast series, Clinical Trial Insights on Problems in the Resume Market.
You're very welcome. Glad to be here.
Give us a little bit of your background and some of your expertise as we talk about this topic.
Well, my background goes long before recruiting. I worked in the professional world for several years and actually personally hired and, I guess, recruited, hired, and maintained high-performing teams, and was given an opportunity to come and work with this organization back in 2008, and thought it would be a really great way for me to leverage that experience as a hiring manager in the recruitment industry. And I've been with this company since it opened up its doors in 2008, and have helped to establish a lot of the processes and procedures that we use to, you know, really validate and recruit the individuals that we work with.
Great. Well, again, thank you for being here. And let's jump right in. Doing some research and reading some of your work, I was frankly a little shocked to read that there may be 7,000 or so fake CRA resumes floating around out there. I mean, that's a huge number.
Well, that's only those that we've identified so far. And kind of as a background, Michael, our firm only places CRA. So from a recruitment perspective, when you're talking numbers with our database, it really is a pristine statement of how many individuals we have in our database with some type of a CRA title. And I think some of the statistics were in one of the articles that are posted out there, but we have well over 40,000 resumes, individuals within our database that have that CRA title, and we've identified that at least 7,000 of those have fake or frauded all or part of the resumes. And I'm not talking about little tiny stretches of dates, and not that minor falsifications are okay, but I'm talking about complete fraudulence. And so when you start looking at the statistics and the way that that's trended over the last several years, we're looking at about 17% of all candidates that might present themselves that actually have fraudulent credentials. And to me, that was quite frightening, which was the reason why we as a firm took it upon ourselves to start putting this information out to the masses, because we want the industry to know what to look for whenever they're hiring individuals on their clinical trial.
Now, 17% is incredible. I think before this conversation, I might have guessed 5% and thought that was shockingly high. So to back up for a second, you touched on this a minute ago, but for the purpose of this conversation here, define for me a fraudulent resume. You touched on it. Are we talking about outright fraud? Are we talking about a mistake here or there? Are we talking about, you know, everyone, I think, or I've done this in my past, maybe, you know, pumped up your description of your job a little bit, you know, and that happens a lot. So how are you defining this? What the troubling ones with the outright fraud?
No, thank you. There is a distinct difference. I would agree. I mean, we see individuals that'll stretch dates because they don't want to show gaps. or they forget, did I leave in January or December? I can't remember. And, you know, over a period of time, we'll see where their dates will shift a month or two. Or like you said, they'll embellish a little bit on what they accomplished. That is not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is out and out right fraudulent. This individual works at Verizon call center. They're taking calls, repairing mobile telephones and fixing plans. They've never, ever worked in the clinical research industry, and they submit fraudulent resumes. And the most of the 7,000 that I'm talking about are end-to-end fraudulent. Absolutely all of it is.
Wow.
Never touched the industry whatsoever.
Now, it's interesting, too, because I think the knee-jerk reaction is, besides the shock of the number, but also a sense or a feeling of, well, just, you know, call and verify, you know, how hard is that? And there's a lot of issues there, but you raised some issues or interesting aspects to this that I hadn't always thought of myself. It isn't always as easy as calling in addition to the manpower, you know, to do that. You know, there are businesses out there that crank out fake resumes or fake online degrees, and there's fake companies out there, or virtual companies. And I guess also some people will, and I got this from reading a lot of your work, they'll cite a company that's gone out of business as a reference, and you really can't check it if the company has dissolved. So, I mean, the challenge is, talk a little bit about verification, because it's harder than it sounds.
It really is, and I think manpower is the biggest key. Well, there's two things, and you're going to see additional articles coming from me and our firm that will go into some of these aspects in deeper detail, because it's a lot of information. But there's two areas that I think. First of all, really is manpower. For one CRA position, we may receive over 700 applicants. So if I'm a hiring manager at a sponsor, and I'm getting just hammered by all of these CRA resumes, how many of those are fake and how many of those are real? And how many people do I have to comb through these hundreds of resumes that actually, I mean, it's wasting my time. Like, it's a big issue. And quite honestly, we very rarely answer the mail because of that, because typically the individuals that are applying for jobs are not the seasoned, tenured professionals that you really want. You really want those individuals who are already happily working, because they're looking for the position that fits their qualifications and their career goals, rather than, I just have a mortgage payment to make, let me take any job that I get. So that's the first aspect of it. The second aspect of it really is history. Our best line of defense is history. We, and this will be a future article, but we actually maintain history on every candidate that comes through our system. So I have resumes on individuals and digital profiles on individuals from back in 2008. So when they submit a resume today in 2017, 9 years later, we compare. So when those dates or degrees change, we can tell right away that there's something fishy, and then make a more informed decision from there. Other than that, it's just the check boxes that I'm giving to the industry of things to take a look for. There's the trends that you see, and when you check a lot of those boxes off, you have to ask whether or not you want to steer clear and go to another candidate that doesn't, that you feel a little more confident about.
And now, speaking of trends, you've talked, too, about trends in fraud, and that's, to me, that's a fascinating idea. What kinds of things are you seeing in terms of what you would call a trend?
I think the biggest trends, and some of those are outlined in some of the articles already, but if you take a look at just resumes only, it's the trends where you'll see, for example, individuals never have gaps in the resume. This industry, very hard to never have a gap in your resume, especially in the CRA world. I just actually let someone go who is amazing because her study was canceled. It is what it is. It's going to take her a period of time before she can find another position. Therefore, she's going to have somewhat of a gap. It might not be large, but there still exists. That's the nature of this business and the industry. But one of the other really large ones that you mentioned is these individuals will use companies that have been out of business, and it's very, very difficult to get background information on them, history, because the company no longer is in existence. Even if they've been acquired by another organization, a lot of times those HR records are not migrated over or transitioned over very gracefully, and it's very difficult to do. And then the third really large trend, and there's more in the articles, but the third very large trend is there's a lot of fake companies out there, companies that represent themselves as sponsors. And these individuals, this trend trend, this fraudulence, if you will, is very organized. And these individuals use these companies. They pay to have websites put up. There's posts on Glassdoor. You're going to see where there's a lot of digital footprint on these fake companies, but they don't exist. And we've been able to prove it. We have a very long list of fake companies out there, and they all have websites, and they all look really good, but they've never been in existence before. And there's ways to find that out, but that's a huge trend. And it's actually, again, it's quite frightening because these pockets of groups of individuals that have organized to try to fraud the industry in this way.
The sophistication of the fraud is just incredible.
Mm-hmm. It's almost cultish. And it's, I know that's a weird language to use, but to me that's exactly what it seems like. It's extremely cultish.
Hmm. It was interesting, too. I read one of your first blogs, and I looked at some of the comments, and you clearly struck a nerve. There were a lot of comments and a lot of people appreciating the work you're doing to bring this to light. But a couple of the comments raised interesting points that I hadn't necessarily thought of, and they said if someone is brought in who shouldn't be brought in from fraud, they work their way in or they sort of sneak their way in, if you will, that among other things, before they're discovered, they cause a lot of damage, as you touched on a moment ago. But that also, it really hurts morale. Once they finally get that person out, that there's a lot of cleanup that has to be done, and
That's exactly right.
You know, you're exposed on a moral level, on a legal level, and an employee morale level. I mean, the potential damage here is pretty serious.
You raised a really good point, and you're absolutely right. I look at the universe from the perspective of the hiring manager, because that's who our firm works for, and from the perspective of the CRA, and some of those posts were from site individuals who, from their perspective, while I'm obviously sensitive to the site relationship that the CRA that we place have, I hadn't really thought of how much damage these coordinators and these PIs then also experience, and the rework that they have to do. It's extremely costly from their view too, and that isn't typically a cost that would get passed on to the sponsors. So either the sponsors would have to consider the working relationship that they have with those sites going forward, because I know a lot of sponsors consider those site relationships as very strong partnerships, and it could cause damage there too.
We're speaking here with Angela Roberts, who's the head of CRA recruitment with CRA Resources. Angela, I want to thank you so much for joining us and helping us dissect this so very important and frankly troubling trend we're seeing in the industry.
Well, you're very welcome. And if anybody has any questions, I am more than happy to answer them.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate that. And thank you so much for doing this.
Absolutely. Thanks for inviting me.
We've just heard from Angela Roberts, head of CRA recruitment at CRA Resources. She gave us some chilling data that suggests the problem of fraudulent resumes is perhaps far more widespread than we thought. Next, let's speak with ACRP's Workforce Innovation Officer, Terry Hinckley. Terry will offer us some tools to combat resume fraud. Terry, thanks so much for joining us on the Clinical Trial Insights podcast.
My pleasure, Michael. Happy to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about your new role at ACRP and why ACRP went this direction with creating essentially the Workforce Innovation Officer position. I know you have a lot of background in the industry, but talk a little bit about the why behind this.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. What we were seeing, Michael, even though workforce innovation was something that we were trying to focus on over the last few years at ACRP, we found that it sort of hit a critical point right now. And what I mean by that is a lot of different initiatives are happening across the industry, either being led by other stakeholder groups or just by virtue of new technologies emerging into the market or new ways of doing research, that really has brought this to the forefront and made ACRP recognize that to be able to serve our members well and to stay ahead of all of the different innovations that are going to affect them in the coming months and years, we really needed a dedicated full-time resource looking at how all of these things are happening, how they're coalescing, and what that's going to mean for the workforce going forward.
And interesting, as we talk about workforce issues and the professionalization issue, now I know you've seen some of the same data I have from CRA Resources, and I think perhaps elsewhere, where I know they estimate that there are some 6,000 or 7,000 fraudulent resumes out there in the hiring pool, and they're not talking about minor blips or minor exaggerations in one's experience, but outright fraud, making up titles, making up places they worked. When you saw that data, what was your take on it? I was very surprised.
Yeah, I have to say my initial reaction was both shock and surprise. And what I think shocked me the most was the thought that there would be clinical researchers that would commit fraud, because ethics and obviously ethical conduct, both personally and professionally, is so important to the industry. But what I realized shortly after that initial thought was that we're actually talking about people that aren't in clinical research. We're talking about individuals that probably see an opportunity, Michael, because there are a lot of job openings, but also pretty good salaries for CRAs. Signing bonuses in some instances makes it very attractive for someone to want to enter the industry. So those fraudulent resumes actually don't belong to clinical research professionals, which does give me a little bit of relief, but it's still concerning because now your average hiring manager is having to try and sift through that data and make deliberations on who actually is a qualified candidate and who isn't.
I wonder if another factor, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just wondering out loud if, you know, as you know, there's a serious talent shortage out there. If I'm a site or a hiring manager looking to hire somebody and they sound pretty good and look pretty good at first glance, as tight as the market is, my bar might be a little bit lower to do due diligence. I mean, do you think that's part of the problem?
Well, I think that might be a small part of the problem, although I do believe that most hiring managers do their best in that regard. I think the challenge becomes how do you actually vet those candidates? You know, what kind of validation do you do on the credentials and the jobs that they said that they've had previously? Oftentimes we ask for references, but we don't necessarily call previous managers. I know that was my experience even as a hiring manager myself. I relied mainly on the references provided and, you know, kind of that sniff test, you know what I mean, where you look at a resume and does it make sense? Are there big gaps in employment? Does anything not add up? But if they've got legitimate employers listed, you know, I think that it's going to become more burdensome for employers potentially to actually do that verification step where it might actually take some spot checking. Maybe you call one or two employers on someone's resume to actually validate that they've worked there. I know that, and I can't speak to from an HR perspective how able hiring managers are to do that, because I do know, at least for current employers, I believe you have to have someone's consent to be able to contact them. I hope that for former that doesn't also hold true. But I think that those are some of the challenges that hiring managers are probably trying to deal with as they try and navigate how to evaluate the accuracy of some of these resumes that they're seeing.
Now, ACRP has been active of late trying to help, I'll say, professionalize the industry or codify in a certain way with certifications based more on specific skill sets and less on tenure. And I'm wondering if this kind of certification program might be an important tool for hiring managers. I mean, if a potential applicant has ACRP certification down the line, as a hiring person, can I find out if that's true? Can I verify that fairly easily?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's two really easy ways to be able to do so. So the first way to be able to validate someone's ACRP certification status is to visit our website. We do have a certification database. Now, assuming that the certificate has consented for us to share their details in our certification database, you can type in their name and actually verify that they're certified. Although I will say that the majority of our certificates have provided that consent because obviously they want to be recognized and realized as certified professionals as well. The other way that you can do that is if the candidate has provided a digital badge in their email communications or in their LinkedIn profile or some other way, you can actually click on that digital badge and it'll take you right into a secure vault where you can see their certification status, including when they were initially certified and when they last maintained their certification, as a way of validating and verifying that that person is actually ACRP certified.
Interesting. Well, that sounds like that would be a very helpful tool. Yeah, I mean, of course, the idea of finding the right employees in the professional world is one of the most important things you do day to day to keep your business running and, you know, address the issues you need to address in the proper way. Terry, I want to thank you so much for joining us today with the Clinical Trial Insights podcast series. I really appreciate your input here on such an important topic.
Oh, my pleasure, Michael. It is an important topic, and I'm always happy to discuss it further.
Excellent. Thank you so much. We hope you found this ACRP Clinical Trial Insights podcast to be valuable. We've talked about some controversial issues here. Hiring the wrong people can do so much damage to your operations. Getting this right is one of the most important things you can do to keep your operation running at its best. For the ACRP Clinical Trial Insights podcast series, I'm Editor-in-Chief Michael Causey. Thanks very much for joining us.